Today on Real Radio.
If you're a child of God, He's hanging on to you. You can be so radically backslidden tonight. You can be so far from God. You can be so far from God that you're not even here right now. You're listening by podcast or some other broadcast. You're hiding tonight. You're all wrapped up in your sin. You're bound like Samson. And now you're waking up to the fact, man, there was a day like the prodigal son. I longed to go back home to be with my father. And you have strayed so far, and I want you to know, and you'll hear more about this tonight, that you, my friend, if you're breathing right now, there's hope for you. Christian, you can come back home, and we'll be talking about that tonight.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch, Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges. We're in a mini-series taken from chapters 13 through 16, where we learn about Samson. The name of this series is Staying Fit for the Master's Use. Now, we're not speaking of being physically fit, but spiritually and scripturally fit. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Grab your Bibles tonight, and it's chapter 16 of Judges, and we will finish tonight what we started last week. We ran out of time looking at a little mini-series that has come out of these last few chapters, and it is entitled Staying Fit for the Master's Use. As believers, we want to be fit for the Master's use, the Master being our Lord, and we want to be always ready and able to be used by God at the drop of a hat, we would say. And last time together, we looked at what we called Lesson 11, and that was all about consecration, as they have been. But we looked at consecration, meaning this, that you and I belong to the Lord. We belong to God as believers. And Samson was a man who belonged to God from the very moment that his mom and dad dedicated him unto the Lord. They had prayed him before the throne of God, as it were. They lifted that boy, that baby boy, up unto the Lord, even before his birth. He was dedicated unto God, and he was anointed by the Lord. He was called into the ministry of what is called a Nazarite. Samson was devoted to God in his conduct, his diet. The outward manifestation of that was his hair. His hair was to not be cut. The power of his life was not in his hair, but it was in the fact that God had a vow with him, and that it was symbolized outwardly with the growth and with the razor never coming to his hair, never coming upon his hair. And we saw how him flirting with Delilah and all of that stuff, and his just being reckless with the things of God led him to this tragic setting where his eyes were literally carved out of his head. He was taken captive, remember? The Philistines bound him and led him away. And the Bible there told us that as time began to wax on, his hair began to grow. And it's not that he got stronger with his hair, but we saw that with his time in confinement under this Philistine captivity, that he began to turn his heart toward God. And we looked at the mercy of God, that God's mercy endures forever. And that's a good thing, and we talked about that in our last study, that if you've erred or strayed away from the Lord, maybe you started out as a Samson, and your life was promised to God, but you wandered far from God. We saw last time that the mercy of God never, never lets you go. If you're a child of God, He's hanging on to you. You can be so radically backslidden tonight. You can be so far from God. You can be so far from God that you're not even here right now. You're listening by podcast or some other broadcast. You're hiding tonight. You're all wrapped up in your sin. You're bound like Samson. And now you're waking up to the fact, man, there was a day like the prodigal son. I longed to go back home to be with my father. And you have strayed so far, and I want you to know, and you'll hear more about this tonight, that you, my friend, if you're breathing right now, there's hope for you. Christian, you can come back home, and we'll be talking about that tonight. But his mercy was great. So now we come to the 12th lesson in this 10-part series, and it's the end of it. with Samson, and it is this: consecration, calling out to the Lord. Will you mark that down? Calling out to the Lord. You need to remember this. Now, maybe you're doing fine tonight with the Lord Jesus, but there's going to come a time possibly in your life you need to remember that you need to call out to your God, because he's always listening. And before we get into verses 27 and on, I believe that what you're about to see and hear is a man, Samson, broken, and the pathway to God's power is always the pathway of brokenness. You can choose to be broken by God working in your life. Listen, young people, don't kick against God. I know it's in your blood to throw off and to kick against authority. That's teen rebellion, and that's satanic. We've all gone through it. When we begin to kick off the yoke of our parents or the yoke of our authorities that are over us, understand this. It's not some hormone that's going nuts in your body. It's not that you've taken some idiot pill and now you've gone mad. That's not what's happening. You are a spiritual creature. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, that we are body, soul, and spirit. But if you have not yet come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as ruler and reigning king of your life, it is going to be a natural tendency to throw off authority, be it school, parents, the law. You'll push it away. What's going on? You say, Jack, yeah, that's what's happening in my life right now. What's happening? You have come to that place, be it male or female, you've come to that place of now having to make a spiritual decision for your own life. You are actually in a wonderful place. Mom, Dad, if your kid is bucking your authority, don't fight with them. Hold your ground, Mom and Dad. Don't cave in. Keep a righteous home. Love them firmly, but love them. But listen, fall to your knees, Mom and Dad. Get on your face. Call your best friends and have them fast and pray for your child, because your child is going through a great spiritual battle where Satan's pulling them on one side and the Lord is pulling them on the other side, and there's a war going on for their spiritual existence. Teen rebellion is an announcement that they need, and time has come for them to be accountable to God on their own, and they need to choose Christ. You say, well, Jack, what if my husband's 46 and he's turned into a complete dope and he's doing stupid? Pray for him. Maybe that's a midlife crisis. I don't know what it's called. Maybe it's Satan's living in your closet. I don't know. But spiritual issues. And Samson is a great example. So now we look to this consecration of the believer that we're calling out to God. And keep this in mind. Brokenness is that pathway. In fact, check this out. Samson has erred so badly, he's made such a mess of his life. Now he's blind in captivity, being led about by a young lad. We learned that in the verses leading up to the study tonight. But keep this in mind as we go through our time together here tonight. In Psalm 51, verse 17, David wrote this. For those of you who know your Bible, he wrote this after a certain sin. And he wrote it, scholars believe, about a year after he had committed a certain sin. Anybody remember what that sin is? Anybody? I want to hear it again. Who said murder? Gail, you win. Exactly right. Murder and adultery. Adultery and murder. How about this? Adultery, murder, and suicide to his spirit. If you think about it. David cried out in Psalm 51, 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise, or you will not reject. Listen, have you sinned? Have you erred? Have you strayed? Are you sick about it? Have you realized that you've sinned against the God who loves you? Absolutely. Then listen to what the Bible says. And David wrote it, and it blows my mind, and I'll tell you why in a second. This verse says, God, you will not turn away a broken heart that sees sin as it is. When someone is repentful, God will not turn you away. So watch this. A broken and contrite heart, these, O God, you will not despise. You guys, David was a murderer and adulterer. In the law, David only had the law, you guys. Are you with me? You're so quiet. In the Old Testament, you commit adultery. Do you know what the law said? Stone the guy to death. You're dead. Not only did David commit adultery, he committed murder. The prophet comes and says, hey, David, guess what God told me about you? Now the nation knows. The law says kill him. Stone him to death. Old Testament. Stone him. David doesn't even think about death. He knew something about his God that blows my mind. David said, Lord, a broken heart you will not despise. David had a very born-again relationship with the Lord in the Old Testament. He went straight to God and pleaded upon God's mercy and depended upon God's forgiveness. Isn't that radical? When the law said kill him, David believed in the Lord personally that there was an opportunity for him to plead his case before the Lord. That's an amazing thing, even on top of it, murder. Now, here we go. Lesson 12, consecration. It's this. Because he's waiting to hear from you again. Listen, we can be consecrated to God and be calling out to the Lord for this reason, because he's waiting to hear from you and I again. Our God is waiting. Look at verse 27. Now the temple was full of men and women. Do you remember that? Samson was there. He's tied to the two pillars. He's asked that young boy, will you show me where the pillars are that I might lean on them? Samson's leaning on the pillars. And all the lords of the Philistines were there, about 3,000 men and women on the roof watching while Samson performed. By the way, archaeological discovery confirms the roof, confirms the location, confirms the rubble, confirms the evidence brought up out of the earth. Guess what? That roof that was unearthed can literally hold over 3,000 people. They were outside on top of a roof of a temple, of a shrine. And they're looking down and they're mocking Samson. Verse 28, then Samson called to the Lord. And when he called to the Lord, look at it, he said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. Interesting. Bible students, mark this. Note in your Bible, verse 28, it says, O Lord God. And then it says, next sentence down below, O God. See that? That's in the English. It gives me a great deal of pleasure to tell you tonight that it's not like that in the Hebrew. It's very cool. Watch this. In the Hebrew Bible, it reads differently. Three times it has in verse 28, him calling upon the Lord in a very unique way. Watch this. Samson calls out to the Lord and he says, O Lord God. The first call is Adonai. He calls out and he says, my personal God. Church, listen, Christian, he has never done this before. He's never used these words before. He's never called out before like this. In fact, in his call, in his cry, it is a lamentation. Oh, it's powerful. Oh, God, oh, Lord, my personal Lord. We've never heard these words from Samson before. He's broken. And my friend, God can do a lot of stuff through a broken man or woman. When a man or a woman sees themselves in absolute dependence upon God and sees no strength in and of themselves, God can do something with that. And he cries out, oh, my Lord, my Adonai, my personal Lord. Jesus Christ is our personal Savior. You've heard this before. You know it's theologically correct. And if you were asked this on a test, you would write down the right answer. But do you believe it? It is this. Jesus Christ, we say, and it must be this way, is our personal Savior. That is so true that literally, if Adam and Eve got pregnant and had one baby, and that baby was you, and Adam and Eve, of course, the sin, the fall had happened, they're in the garden, and you're the little byproduct of their love, but you also inherited something called S-I-N. Now, any psychologist in our group tonight is going to kind of freak out over this. If you just listen carefully, it makes absolute sense. Any parents in here tonight, raise your hand. This will make absolute sense. We are all S-I-N positive. You say, that's offensive. Well, just hang on. By the way, if you read the Bible all the way through, it's a great plus. You got to know your S-I-N before you can get saved. You can't get saved without being S-I-N. S-I-N positive. So check this out. When a little kid is born, cute as a button. I mean, your kid is as cute as a button to you. Right? I mean, let's be honest. Your kid looks cute to you. He looks like a little wrinkled, bald-headed person to the rest of us. But you love him because he's yours. And that's the way it's supposed to be. And as you're raising them up, and the first-time parents are shocked about this. The little thing is so cute, and then it's, you know, a little older, it's a little bigger, and when it starts to be able to realize, somehow, I've got a personality of my own. It goes from discovery to dictator. I want it my way. I want food now. And if you don't give it to me, I'm going to freak out. And what do? They clench their fist and they go like that. Have you seen a little kid? Dr. James Dobson says, thank God that a little baby does not have properly developed motor skills. Because if they did, they would kill you for the moment. And the next moment, they'd be sorry about it. They're emotionally out of control. Right? And they go like that. And then they'll even do something that is hilarious to everyone else in the room but the parents. And that is, they get so mad at everybody that they're strangling, and they just flip themselves back and smash their head into the ground. Have you seen that when they just throw a temper tantrum and they throw themselves backwards? Have you ever seen them do that? Have you ever seen them get so mad that they just go like this and then they pinch on their parent? They pinch. Have you ever seen a little kid do that? Did you teach them to do that? Where does it come from? They are children of Adam and Eve. That's where it comes from. It's absolutely true. You have to teach your kid to tell the truth. Why? They naturally know how to tell a lie. Did you eat those cookies? Not me. They naturally do that. Why? Because it's in us. It's in us. People find that very offensive, but it's absolutely true. It's in us. The Bible says it's in us. And the amazing thing is that the Lord must become your personal Savior. And if you would have been the daughter or the son of Adam and Eve directly in the garden, Jesus Christ still would have come and died on the cross for you and Adam and Eve. If it was just the three of them, he would have come. That's how much he loves you. It's theologically true. It's biblically accurate. You can write in the answer. For some of you, I pray this is not the case, but for some of you, it's purely academic. You can answer it and get an A, but you don't believe it. And therein separates you from a person who's religious versus a person who knows Christ personally. Do you know that God values you so much, but you were so horrifically lost that he would have come and died for you or for me if we were the only ones ever born? That's how precious you are, to redeem you and I out of the S-I-N positive disease. And then the next call, remember there's three. There's only two recorded in English in 28, but there's three recorded in the Hebrew. The next call is when he cries out and he says, I pray just this once, O God. He calls Jehovah, Yahweh. You are my Yahweh. You're my Savior. You're my salvation. Do you hear the voice of this man now? He's got it. He went from chasing girls, burning down fields, beating up Philistines, tearing lions apart, quite the riddle guy, all this stuff that's going on, and had the world by the tail, and all that's gone now. And I want to argue with you tonight that that's a good thing. Sometimes we can't see God because of all the stuff that's in the way of our hearts. The third call is this. It goes from Adonai to Yahweh to Elohim. You're my God. You are my God. You're my personal God. You are my Savior. You are He. That's it. I find it interesting, by the way, that it's three times. That's precious to me. Just this once is his prayer request. Just this once. He's asking the Lord to vindicate his life one more time. In this request, he's asking God, renew the vow. You guys, he's not committing suicide. He's held captive by his enemies. He's been condemned to death. And he says, Lord, just this once, allow me to vindicate the call, the mission, the vow against these, my enemies. He's coming home late, no doubt about it, but he's coming home. Mom and dad, you need to hear that. Your son may be 40, 50, 60 years old, I don't know, but your heart's broken, and you say, and I hear it from you, my son knows better, my daughter knows better. You know what? Pray, pray, and don't stop praying. Because you know what? Samson came home at the last second, at the last bit. Oh God, oh Lord, my Lord. Hear me, just this once. He came home late, but he came home. A lot of people come home late, but they come home. Man, if that's you in your life, Christian, I don't know about you, but it's late. I'm not talking about the clock. I'm talking about the time and the age in which you and I live. Amen. For most people, they have their head buried in the sand. It's more comfortable to do that. I agree. I understand that. I know too much stuff. Most of the stuff I don't share with you because I'm just so grieved about what's going on in the global world, the agenda, the things that are coming against this country, or intelligence briefings and stuff. It just drives me crazy. You don't want to know those things. It's easier. Put your head in the ground. Over a month ago, we knew about this. Oh, my goodness. No, I'm sorry. About a year ago, when we were in Israel, about a month ago. But a year ago, we were briefed a little bit on this super secret Israeli spy plane. And you say, Jack, don't talk about it. It's on CNN this week. It's out. News is out. Super secret spy plane. And what they're reporting, by the way, on the news about what it does, they're telling you stuff that they can tell you. It's the stuff they're not telling you what it does. That's the cool stuff. But I don't want to know this stuff. I don't want to know what's going on. And the temptation is to put your head in the ground and not know. But listen, the Lord wants us to know. And Samson sees all this going on, and he says, Lord, just this once. Christian, I believe that the hour is now upon us that we live our faith without shame. There are people willing to blow themselves up for a lie, and Christians are tiptoeing around over the truth. In verse 29, it says, Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on his right and the other on his left. And then Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he pushed with all his might. And the temple fell on the Lord's and all the people who were in it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in part of a mini-series called Staying Fit for the Master's Use. It's a mini-series taken from chapters 13 through 16 of the Old Testament book of Judges. Now, this is the final installment in this series, and we'll have to pick things up again on Monday's edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us. Now, I'd like to communicate to you a couple of things. First of all, this entire series, Staying Fit for the Master's Use, is now available in a 10-DVD set. And what we'd like to offer you is that for your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount, we'll be happy to send it your way. The 10-DVD series by Pastor Jack called Staying Fit for the Master's Use. Visit us at realradioactive.org to learn more, realradioactive.org. Our phone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. And secondly, we'd like to hear from you. It doesn't take much to just send us an email letting us know how Real Radio is affecting your growth as a believer in Messiah. Just visit us at realradioactive.org and click where it says Send Us a Message. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.